This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station. The Property Show on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. You're listening to The Property Show on The Morning Run. It's our weekly take on all things property related. I'm Sim Wee Boon. Due to the recent spikes in COVID-19 cases, the government of the day have implemented a two-week CMCO in Selangor, Kuala Lumpur and Putrajaya, which kicked off earlier this week, with a ban on inter-district travelling except for work and emergencies. However, factories can still run their productions, malls can still open, and eateries can still have people in them, only limited to per table. This is in hopes that the economic recovery that Malaysia has been going through does not stall. But really, how will this two-week CMCO impact Malaysia's Q4 recovery, especially in the property sector? Recently, the National Property Information Centre, or better known as NAPIC, said that the property market will remain soft for the rest of the year due to various uncertainties, including COVID-19, the country's political stability, and the pace of economic recovery. So to find out a bit more on this, I have Sarkunan Subramaniam, Managing Director of Knight Frank Malaysia, on the show with me today. Welcome to the show, Sarki. So I'm just going to start off with the main question, Sarki. How will the two-week CMCO affect the property market? Is 2 weeks a big dent?
I think that's the question, isn't it? If it's 2 weeks, I really do not see too much of an issue. But the question is whether it will get extended further or not. Because the restrictions of this current CMCO is more relaxed compared to before. Businesses are allowed to open, so therefore, I feel if it's only for 2 weeks, it's not going to make a big dent on the property market.
Before the CMCO, this latest CMCO was implemented, how has the property market been doing? You know, were we seeing a good trajectory for recovery?
It all depends on the various sector, the residential sector, developers did announce very good response to recent launches, high bookings, good sales. The HOC really attracted a lot of, customers. The commercial market, there were more inquiries, but of course, the rents are still under pressure. But there are active sectors which are really looking for space, technology sector, shared services, pharmaceuticals. This is actually the sectors that are growing in the commercial area. But the industrial sector also was also picking up, especially the logistics sector. So the depending on which sector, some were good, some were not good. Retail sector, you and I know, was not really doing very well. The tourism sector, the hotel sector was not doing very well. But one thing I want to also stress on, Tim, is the fact that I would say that apart from the CMCO itself affecting, the fact that the number of cases are rising is also has an effect in itself. The fact that you find today, the malls today, as compared to before the case was rising, malls are pretty much empty. And people now can't travel, outstation. And we find the crowded places people are avoiding. So naturally, apart from the CMCO itself, it is having an effect on the retail market.
And if it were to be extended, let's say it gets extended by another 2 weeks, will we then see a bigger, more adverse effect?
I think it's a few more weeks, another 2 more weeks, provided our guidelines are clear, what can operate, what cannot operate, I think things will be okay. But if it's get extended, keep on getting extended for more than 6 weeks or so, then we will certainly see a bit of an impact. I think 2 weeks shouldn't be a major thing. Even if it's extended another further week, I don't see much. But provided the guidelines, what you can do, what you can't do, are very clear.
Back to the recovery discussion that we will have, you gave the various subsectors. But what about location? I mean, were there any bright spots in the locations that you looked at? Are we seeing perhaps growth outside of the Greater Klang Valley?
I think location-wise, Klang Valley saw the best demand, apart from Penang, and a little bit in Johor Bahru. But location aside, I think the key issue is where is what located. For instance, when it comes to industrial, the logistics sector was doing well. Of course, the Shah Alam area, the Bangi area, this sort of areas did very well. So it all depends on what is located where. When you talk about a location, suburbs, for instance, suburb residential wise, when it came to suburbs, some of the developments did very well. Developers say sold very well. One of the key things that Knight Frank we have seen is the phenomena of work from home also affecting residential sales. Now everybody talks about work from home is going to reduce the space required in the office, going to change the culture of the office, but it is also changing the culture. The where people want to buy. I'm looking to see that people are saying I can work from home, so therefore I really don't need a house so close to my office. Maybe I can buy a bit further away, slightly bigger, a little bit less expensive, and I only need to commute twice a week at most. So commuting issue when it coming to buy a house has become a lesser significant thing. So that is another new trend Knight Frank is noticing.
What about price trends? I mean, what can you say about the price trends that you've observed? Is there significant changes, any corrections?
I think as far as price trends are concerned, it depends sector by sector. Some are going down, some are going up. Residential, on the developer side, of course, they have given good discounts during this during the HOC. So that has seen a slight pickup in demand, but of course, the discounts given ranges between 10 to 15%. Industrial is quite resilient, riding on the e-commerce boom. Hotel, seriously, if I were to put my finger to it, it is actually transacting at lower prices, say between 10, 15, maximum maybe 20%. If at all it transacts, but the kind of purchaser interest is looking around there. And the malls are, prime malls, rents are still holding and it seems to be okay. But of course, there is pressure on the secondary malls and values are dropping. Office, on the other hand, because of the pressure on rents, it is also under pressure to come down in terms of the values.
Okay, well, Sarki, I want to ask, you know, for the property sector to properly recover, it has to have the combination of the right demand-supply conditions. Do you have any insights to the current unsold inventory levels, especially in Klang Valley residentials? I think Napik has said that, you know, the number of unsold residential properties has increased a bit from first half of 2020 from second half of 2019.
The unsold residential problem is an ever there problem. It's always going to be there. I think at the end of the day, this problem can only be alleviated if loans are easily available, the economy improves. So as far as I'm concerned, with the housing HOC campaign, it did help the unsold property issue. But at the end of the day, I believe we need to live with the fact that this will always be there. If residential buildings are built in the wrong locations, and if the price is wrong, if the product is wrong, and as much as I will reiterate again, if the Bhumiputra quota and the release of Bhumiputra quota is not done in a swift and fast manner, you will always have this unsold property problem.
At the expense of your crystal ball, Sarki, what would be the right price and the right location that you can say?
right price and the right location. I must say that today, as far as residential is concerned, suburban areas are well located, transportation niche, good housing. It all depends in terms of infrastructure availability. So that the whole thing combined together is what I would say goes for it.
Okay, we're going to take a short break right now for some messages. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9. Welcome back. You're tuned into The Property Show on The Morning Run. I'm Sim Wee Boon, and with me here today is Sarkunan Subramaniam, Managing Director of Knight Frank Malaysia. We've been talking about what kind of impact the two-week CMCO will have on Malaysia's Q4 recovery, and we were also getting Sarki's thoughts on how the property sector has been doing.
I think banks are willing to lend, but it's whether the purchasers can afford or not. That's the key issue. Interest rates are at a regime that is so low. So the key issue is we may have to revisit how we look at the customer, how we look at a purchaser, whether it's affordability level. We have to not totally ignore the fact that a guy who's in this 28, 29 is definitely going to keep on in increasing in his payroll. So we got to have a consideration of all of that so that these people can get their financing.
Based on your channel checks post loan moratorium, and I know it's only been a few weeks into it, what can you tell us about the situation that's like? Will we have a situation of negative equity?
I believe the fact that one of the key issues that's affecting the market will have a significant effect of how the market moves is the end of the moratorium that we have. People have been living in a honeymoon period where reality hasn't really sunk in. Now we are going to have targeted moratorium. But at the same time, when this ends, when the moratorium ends and you are not the target person who's going to continue receiving this, you will be under a lot of pressure. So it is back to reality. And I think that will actually affect and be a, one of the major issues in consideration of how things move forward in Malaysia. Malaysia is we are basically in a K-shaped recovery. I mean, this is a new term that has come about. What is a K-shaped recovery? It is when some sectors will go down, some sectors will go up. Different disaggregated economic variables across different sectors. So therefore, in that sense that we are really facing a K-shaped recovery at the moment.
Indeed, here in The Morning Run, the K-shaped recovery has been talked about quite a lot. I'm curious as well about auction properties. What are you seeing in that sector? Are we seeing more auction properties being put out?
So, no, we have been seeing more auction properties, but the end of the moratorium will possibly push a lot more into the market. So the secondary market will come under a lot of stock will come in. So it all depends how people hold on to what they have and whether they are prepared to face what is happening. Because when you don't have to pay your car, you don't have to pay your house loan. Wow, what a honeymoon. You can actually take it easy, you know. But so now when you have to do all of that, that is where the issue starts.
With borders still closed and probably going to be closed until next year, what kind of effect will this have due to the reduction in foreign demand? I mean, how dependent are we on foreign demand?
FDI is very important. For when it comes to commercial properties, I think we were very dependent on FDI coming in, especially before all of this, the Chinese investment was really, really counted upon. And prior to that, of course, the Japanese, the Singaporean investment. So this is all very important. So with this COVID and all that, everything has pretty much come to a bit of a halt. So When it comes to commercial, we are quite dependent. When it comes to residential, I don't think we are as dependent in the need for foreign buyers. But then again, for those buyers who are targeting foreign, like like certain developments in Johor and all that, pretty much Chinese developers selling to Chinese people from China. These are the developments that will certainly be a lot more affected. It's going to change how people buy property. You know, when someone loves to go and invest overseas, but when you ask someone, do you want to invest here? Yeah, but I can't even go there to enjoy the fruits of what I've just bought. You know, so that will affect how people think and buy. There will be more people looking at buying local properties. Local people buying local properties. Rather than looking more towards buying overseas, unless of course your children is going overseas on this and that, whatever else, you see.
What about like cross-state purchases? Will we see maybe people in Klang Valley buying a property in Penang or the other way around?
That is a very good good topic, because I was interviewed recently also regarding tourism property, you know, developers used to bring busloads from China or from wherever else, and then these channel agents or developers take them around their developments and try to sell them the property. But that area is pretty much dead, because no one can travel from another country to here. But what I think that we should be doing is promoting local property tourism, in the sense that if someone from KL wants to buy something in Penang, we should promote that, so that this sort of cross state buying exists, which will be a good area to look at. If I've got a resort development, especially now that people want to go locally to travel to enjoy their resorts, as you know, the local resorts have been doing very well since no one can go overseas. So if I have a resorty type development in Port Dickson, what I should be doing is looking into local property tourism in order to market my product.
Interesting. Okay. And, you know, moving our eyes a bit to the future, let's talk about Q4 first. What can you tell us about Q4's recovery for the property sector?
I think the Q4 recovery, we got to look at the key important things that are happening. End of the moratorium. Will there be a vaccine being found? One of the other thing that always hangs around Malaysia is the fact that we have this issue with political stability. We have this issue now, Prime Minister being challenged and everything's so fluid at the moment. So that is really affecting the FDI coming in. People are worried if at all there is any FDI, there's even further exasperation with all this uncertainty. So having a look at that, I think one thing also at the background, we also have to look that we handled our COVID-19 a lot better than many other countries. Yeah, and we did see even the retail and the hotel sectors doing better. So what is going to happen in 2021? Like I said, the K-shaped recovery, some sectors will go up, some sectors will remain in the doldrums. And it will be a mixed bag of pretty much what is currently there. I think 2021 is going to be one of the toughest years that Malaysia will face, and it has to be dealt with properly. So it's going to be possibly even tougher than 2020. So there is things to look out for when it comes to the fact that we are going to face probably harder times ahead in 2021.
So what's your advice for people who have just bought property, people who are planning to maybe perhaps sell the property? I mean, what would you tell prospectful people that are looking to perhaps even buy property?
I always manage your finances well, know that what you have, look at the your job, the stability of your job, And don't over invest into something that you can't afford. I think it's very imperative that cash will be king. In fact, with moratorium ending, and I think if there is going to be a lot of auction properties, your cash will be king. So hold your cash to buy something in the secondary market. If you people like to buy from developers because it's a lot more easier. But if the secondary sector prices come down due to more auction cases or whatever, then interest of those who wants to buy a home may shift towards the secondary market. So at the end of the day, I feel you can go ahead to buy a property. Please go ahead and buy what is discounted, what is good, what is well located, what suits you. Don't overextend yourself. And if you prefer to wait, hold on to your cash and see how the market turns out in the first half of next year.
Okay, and finally, you know, with Budget 2021 coming, maybe you can tell us about your wish list for Budget 2021. What else can the government do to help spur the property market, especially with your somewhat gloomy outlook in 2021?
It's not gloomy, Sim. I wouldn't put it gloomy, but it's tough times. And like I said, K-shaped recovery. Some sectors are really going to do very well. Some sectors are going to be harder. So it's not gloomy. I like to correct if at all anyone has an impression I've given a gloomy prediction. It's not really that gloomy, but the fact that we need to be careful. Okay, coming back to your question, before we talk about property, I think what is very important that is the government should do something about small SME loans for people who want to start up new business like home-based food businesses and whatever not. Because if things get tough and people lose their jobs, and at least they have various avenues of trying to keep meeting ends, you see. So that's one area that I think the government should be looking at, dispersing of loans for small startups, people who want to start the small businesses. Coming back to property, I think what is most important is uniformity with regards to foreign investment. I know foreign investment into property is a state matter, but nevertheless, there should be some uniformity so people are clear. Continue with the moratorium to the target groups. Comes to RPGT, I believe now people are pre-residential properties per individual. Maybe it should be extended to all sectors, not only residential. There should be some sort of incentives given on RPGT for commercial property sales as well. If you reduce the RPGT rate or even waive it for commercial and industrial properties, I think we will see a very good, robust market, at least for a temporary period, whilst the situation is as it is. Stamp duty waiver was given for primary sales. Maybe it should extend to all secondary sales as well. So these are the things I think the government could look at.
Well, let's all hope for the best. Thank you for being on the show, Sarki. That's all the time we have for today's Property Show. That was Sarkunan Subramaniam, Managing Director of Knight Frank Malaysia. I'm Sim Wee Boon, signing off for the morning run. We've got the 10 a.m. news bulletin coming up next, followed by Enterprise BFM 89.9.
The Property Show on BFM 89.9, the business station. Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.